Tom Sagan gripped the gun. He'd thought about this moment for the past year, debating the pros and cons, finally deciding that one pro outweighed all cons. He simply did not want to live any longer. He'd once been an investigative reporter for the Los Angeles Times, knocking down a solid six-figure salary, his marquee byline generating one front page above-the-fold story after another. He'd worked all over the world, Sarajevo, Beijing, Johannesburg, Belgrade, and Moscow. But the Middle East became his specialty, a place he came to know intimately, where his reputation had been forged. His confidential files were once filled with hundreds of willing sources, people who knew he'd protect them at all costs. He'd proved that when he spent 11 days in a D.C. jail for failing to reveal his source on a story about a corrupt Pennsylvania congressman. That man had gone to prison. Tom had received his third Pulitzer nomination. There were 21 awarded categories. One was for distinguished investigative reporting by an individual or team reported as a single newspaper article or a series. Winners received a certificate, $10,000, and the ability to add three precious words, Pulitzer Prize winner, to their names. He won his, but they took it back, which seemed the story of his life. Everything had been taken back. His career, his reputation, his credibility, even his self-respect. In the end, he became a failure as a son, a father, a husband, a reporter, and a friend. A few weeks ago, he'd charted that spiral on a pad, identifying that it all started when he was 25, fresh out of the University of Florida, top third of his class, a journalism degree in hand. Then his father disowned him. Abiram Sagan had been unrelenting. "We all make choices, good, bad, indifferent. You're a grown man, Tom, and have made yours. Now I have to make mine." And that he had. On that same pad, he'd jotted down the highs and lows, some from before, as editor of his high school paper and campus reporter at college, most after. His rise from news assistant to staff reporter to senior international correspondent, the awards, accolades, respect from his peers. How had one observer described his style? Wide-ranging and prescient reporting conducted at great personal risk. Then his divorce, the estrangement from his only child, poor investment decisions, even poorer life decisions. Finally, his firing, 8 years ago, and the seemingly nothing life since. Most of his friends were gone, but that was as much his fault as theirs. As his personal depression had deepened, he'd withdrawn into himself. Amazing he hadn't turned to alcohol or drugs, but neither had ever appealed to him. Self-pity was his intoxicant. He stared around at the house's interior. He'd decided to die here in his parents' home. Fitting in some morbid way, thick layers of dust and a musty smell reminded him that for 3 years the rooms had sat empty. He'd kept the utilities on, paid the meager taxes, and had the lawn cut just enough so the neighbors wouldn't complain. Earlier, he'd noticed that the sprawling mulberry tree out front needed trimming, the picket fence painting. He hated it here. Too many ghosts. He walked the rooms, remembering happier days. In the kitchen, he could still see the jars of his mother's jam that once lined the windowsill. The thought of her brought a wave of an unusual joy that quickly faded. He should write a note and explain himself, blame somebody or something. But to who? Or what? Nobody would believe him if he told them the truth. Unfortunately, just like 8 years ago, there was no one to blame but himself. Would anyone even care he was gone? Certainly not his daughter. He hadn't spoken to her in 2 years. His literary agent? Maybe. She'd made a lot of money off his ghostwriting. He'd been shocked to learn how many so-called best-selling fiction writers could not write a word. What had one critic said at the time of his downfall? Journalist Sagan seems to have a promising career ahead of him writing fiction.